Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of our Open Mic program. We do have 2nd Congressional District Congressman Tim Griffin with us right now. And Tim, thanks so much for taking time and talking with us.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Well, one thing we got to talk about, it is 11-11-2011. This hasn't happened since, I guess, 7-7-77 was one of the years a lot of people talked about. And there was a lot of marriage and things going on that because it's a unique date. But this day is because very important because it is Veterans Day, and that's something that you wanted to take a moment and talk at the beginning of this program to the veterans.
Yes, I will be traveling around the district to several Veterans Day events, and we're doing that as we do every year to take a special day and honor all of those who have served our country. You know, we should do that all of the time, but we reserve this one day for special ceremony and give special attention. And we owe so much to the folks who have served and have risked their lives, and also not just the veterans, but their families. You know, when veterans serve, they can't do it without the support of their families. And when veterans are serving overseas and away from home, it's particularly hard on spouses and kids. And so we owe such a debt of gratitude to the veterans, and we'll be making sure that we pay the honor due to those veterans on Veterans Day this year.
You know, that is something we talk about. Is it seems like legislation to protect the veterans almost seems like it's hard to believe we have to make sure that's in place, because sometimes they're overlooked and there's benefits, and you fight for that all the time as a congressman.
Well, we have a lot of veterans in this district, and I'm a veteran. I'm a member of the American Legion Post 1. In Little Rock, and I'm also a life member of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. And we serve a lot of veterans here in the district. We've got two veterans on staff who specifically focus on cases that individual veterans have, whether it be involving the Veterans Administration or other veterans-related issues. We try to help them as much as we can. And when I see areas where we need to introduce legislation, well, I certainly do that. This week, in fact, today, we are announcing three new bills that I have proposed, that I am introducing. Two of them relate to veterans, and one of them relates to current service members. One would basically expand the possibilities with regard to the GI Bill. Right now, there are limits on what a GI Bill can be used for by a veteran. For example, if a veteran wants to take that GI Bill money and go to college, continue their education, well, that's certainly allowed. But there's some things that aren't allowed, and one thing in particular that's not allowed is that if a veteran wants to start a franchise, be a franchise owner of a McDonald's or a Starbucks or what have you, they cannot use the GI Bill to pay for that franchise education and that training. And in some cases, franchise education and training can last months and months, and it is not traditional college, but it is certainly education. And so what I am proposing is that soldiers be able to use the GI Bill money not only for traditional education, but for franchise education. The estimate is that veterans have created about 800,000 jobs through franchise opportunities in the United States. And so if a veteran wants to come back from Iraq or Afghanistan, and they want to use that GI Bill money complete their education that they have to do for McDonald's, which I think that is a six-month course, but they vary from franchise to franchise. But if they want to use that GI Bill for that and become a job creator, then we ought to let them do it. That is a legitimate use of that money, and it gives them a leg up. And so I have proposed that they be allowed to do that. Another bill that I have proposed seeks equality between the treatment of National Guard and Reserve members on the one hand and active duty on the other. Right now, there are some courses that National Guard and Reservists take that are done just like they're taken just like the courses that the active duty take. But in some cases, they are done long distance through the web and other means. Sometimes they just have a shorter residency period. But there's different treatment between the degree or the credits that reservists and National Guard members get on the one hand and active duty get on the other hand. So what I am trying to do is simply level the playing field so that National Guard members and Reserve members get the same credit for their education, for the same courses, and so that there is equality between them, the same credit that, that active duty would get. And that, because a lot of times when they can't get that credit, that impacts their career. For example, if they're getting a master's of strategic study in the Army, then they can do that in residence as an active duty member, or they can do it online and through writing essays and what have you in the Guard or the Reserve. And but the active duty gets credit and a degree that the Guard and Reserve does not. We want parity there. And I was happy to see the comments of Major General Wofford, the head of the National Guard here in Arkansas. He is praising the legislation and says that it's much needed. So I was happy to introduce that. And thirdly, a lot of veterans complain about the lines that they have to wait in to get their travel reimbursement waiver at the Veterans Administration. And a lot of the lines that have been forming are because of the way that that program is administered. And so a lot of soldiers or veterans have to wait and wait and wait, and many of them aren't in the best of health, to get the proper paperwork so they can get reimbursed for travel when they had to travel to a veteran's hospital out of state or what have you. And with a simple little bureaucratic chain, by instead of having one a due date when those have to be done, if you make it align with a birth month, we can simplify and streamline the system and hopefully take a lot of these lines away. So we have proposed that because we've heard from a lot of veterans who have complained about that. And so those are three bills that we have just introduced, and we'll be seeking co-sponsors on those and doing what we can to get them passed.
Well, you know, as always, it's always a joy to talk to you this Veterans Day, as I know you're going all over the district. But you also have your office open for any veteran, especially on this day. If they want to seek information that might help them out, even if it's any question, they can call your office. And what would be the best number for them to call?
Yes. Well, they can call the office in Washington, or they can call the office in Little Rock. But the Little Rock number is 501-324-5941. That's 501-324-5941. And that is the only office we have in the district, which is in Little Rock at the corner of University and Cantrell. And we would love to help whoever needs our assistance.
Okay, that number again is 501-324-5941, and Congressman Tim Griffin has been our guest on this Veterans Day. Thanks so much for taking time and talking with us.
Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing you soon. Hopefully I'm going to get to see you in Conway.